All right, if you wish to follow along, turn to 2 Peter again. I think it was about 3 weeks ago I brought a message from 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to go back to 2 Peter chapter 2 again. Second Peter chapter 2. The last time I spoke from this chapter, I think the title was something along the line of deliverance and damnation. And that's what we see in this chapter. God knows how to reserve the unjust to be punished by Him. But God also knows how to deliver the just. To be mercifully and compassionately and graciously saved and delivered by Him. I just want to read 3 verses, 2 Peter chapter 2. I'll begin in verse 7. Now remember, Peter has given illustrations of how God Almighty does judge evil.
Yes, sir.
Never, ever forget that.
That's right.
And I will add this. Either God judges evil directly in the workers of evil, or God judges evil in a substitute, that is, in His Son, on the behalf of others.
Amen.
Either way, evil is judged by God.
Amen.
But then Peter writes these words. And think about this. Think about this. Hear the words. Read it as you, if you read along, or you're just listening to me. Listen. And delivered just Lot. Not only Lot. That's not what it's talking about. The word just there is not talking about only. It's talking about justified.
Exactly. Yeah.
And delivered just Lot.
Right.
That is an astounding statement. Exactly. If you know anything about Lot.
Right.
Right.
And delivered just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. But the Holy Spirit, knowing our tendencies, is quick to move Peter to have what we have in our English, this parentheses, so that there is no misunderstanding here. For that righteous man, still another astounding statement. It's the same word, just, in the previous verse. For that righteous man, here's how he vexed his here, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Not that he engaged in it with them. No. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. There's another astounding statement.
Yes, sir.
When you read about who Lot
was.
And vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now he continues, the Lord knoweth how to deliver, here's another one, the godly.
Amen.
Now he doesn't call Lot godly, but he is putting Lot in the camp of the godly.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And if you know the account, that can be a little concerning.
Yes, sir.
And yet it's true.
Amen.
No matter what you and I see with these eyes, or think we perceive with this mind and this heart.
Yeah.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But then, of course, he goes on and says, but I'm chiefly talking about certain individuals here. That's what he goes on to say. So then, what I want to try to speak about this morning is righteousness and godliness.
Yes, sir.
Consider this. Think of the tremendous and profound inspired declaration here about Lot.
Yes, sir.
Consider Lot's brief history recorded in the book of Genesis.
Right.
And brutally honest biography that the scripture presents of Lot.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's brutally honest.
Amen.
Yet Lot is, by infallible, unassailable, glorious declaration. Lot is declared to be a righteous man with a righteous soul and is counted among the godly.
Amen.
Now, if you think you can wrap your mind around that, you are wrong. I've studied this for a good while now, known about it for a long while now, and Mac, I still can't wrap my mind fully around this.
You're right.
This is the gospel at its apex.
Yes, sir.
At its apex, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save who?
Sinners.
And then the man who is writing it by divine inspiration is moved to add this, of whom I am chief.
Amen.
Chief. Even while he was writing, Neil, those inspired words,
yes,
of whom I am chief. God infallibly, unassailably, gloriously declares Lot was a righteous man. Had a righteous soul and counts him among the godly. Oh, that that might be me as well. Now, when I begin to consider this, one of the first things I begin to think about is this must, and I emphasize exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. This must transcend Lot's works, Lot's merit,
right.
Lot's worth,
yeah,
and Lot's will.
Right, sir.
It must transcend all these things.
Exactly.
Go back and read about Lot again if you're unsure about that statement I just made. This must transcend Lot's works, Lot's merit, Lot's worth, and Lot's will. And I hear the detractors now. Well, I know something about Lot. And you're on the precipice of giving men and women a license to sin. You don't need a license to sin.
That's right.
You drink up iniquity and I drink up iniquity like water.
Right.
Nobody has to give us permission to sin. We'll take it and rob God.
That's right.
To get what we want by nature.
That's
what we'll do.
Yeah.
Just like Satan,
exactly.
We will say within our own hearts, I will ascend to the Most High Hill. I will sit down on the throne and I will have my will, my way, my merit, and my worth. I'll be glorious. And God says, you're nothing to me.
That's right.
Nothing to me. Consider this. Lot knew Sodom's dangers. And he insisted that his two visitors stay with him inside.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
That's a good thing. Now, just as a side note, Lot insisted, he knew Sodom's dangers and insisted his two visitors. Go back and read the account. Abraham is camped in the plains of Mamre. And it says, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord appeared unto him there. And what? How did he appear unto him there? In the form of three men standing over just above him. That's what it was. And he said, come here. Come here. Come here. And then God. And it said, the Lord is... Who are these three men? Can it be? It cannot but be a representation of our great triune God. And here he is, camped on the plains of Mamre, and fixes up a feast for these three men that appear before him. And he's talking to God when these three men are here.
Yeah.
And they, God, the Lord, reiterates to Abraham the promise of Sarah having a son. And he says, I'm not going to hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, because I am going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to see if the news is as I've been told. Now, he's talking this stuff in human language so that you and I can get our puny little minds grasped around this. And then God, that is the Lord, manifest in these three visitors, these three men, the Lord tells him, I'm going down and I may well slaughter Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, sir.
And Lot says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous there, you'll spare the city, won't you? The Lord said, I will. And Lot says, well, let me think about that a minute. Wait a minute. Lord, 45. The Lord said, if there's 45 there, I'll spare. Think about it. It's what God said, the God who cannot lie. I'll spare the city. And Abraham thought about it again and come down a few numbers. And he thought about it again and come down a few numbers. And he thought about it again and finally come down to 10. Guess what? We know there weren't 10 righteous in that city.
Exactly.
Or those cities, remember, it was more than one.
Yeah, that's
right. Sodom and Gomorrah stand out, but there were others as well. There was more than just Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed those cities. So that lets me know there wasn't even 10 righteous. But we know this by Scripture. There was one righteous man. And God did destroy the cities, but He delivered him out.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the amazing thing. It says that here is the Abraham speaking with the Lord. And the Lord appeared as these three men, these three visitors. The Lord's still here speaking. Or Abraham's still here speaking with the Lord. And two of the men go down to Sodom.
That's right.
While the third one is evidently because he's still speaking with the Lord. And then they have this discourse about the numbers of how many righteous might be there.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't that, now, that's not even my message, but that would be a glorious message.
Yeah.
The sun came down to where we were.
Amen.
The Spirit comes down to where we are.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Isn't that glorious?
Sure.
Anyway, think about it. Lot knew Sodom's dangers and insisted his two visitors. Now remember, it's two angels now, but they're men. They look like men to everybody. They look like men to Lot. Look like men to the Sodomites. Now we know who these were, but be that as it may, he insists that these visitors stay with him inside because he knows of the dangers.
Yeah.
Secondly, Lot rebuked the abomination of sodomy.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did. Go back and read it. He rebuked the abomination of sodomy even back before there was a law. This was instilled down in here by God in him.
Yeah.
Thirdly, Lot warned others of God's imminent wrath. He had two sons-in-law.
Yeah.
And he warned them, God's bringing judgment. Get out of this place with us.
Yes, sir.
Lot believed his two visitors.
Yes, sir.
Did he not?
Yes,
Lot believed his two visitors. Yet, the Scripture's brutally honest with us.
Yes, sir.
Hear me now. Yet, Lot, in the first place, chose to live there.
Yes, sir.
Did he not?
Yes, he
did. Now, let me tell you something, and this is for me and you both. Never think that our actions are inconsequential in this world.
That's right. Exactly.
Never think it.
Yeah.
The way we conduct ourselves, even as believers, has an effect not just on us,
exactly,
but on others as well. Always. Always. And I say that with shame. I'm not looking down on you when I say this. I say that with shame. Lot first chose to live there. He could have went anywhere in the land. But he chose to live there. Lot was willing to sacrifice his daughters. Remember the account? He gonna give his two daughters, who were married but were still virgins. Now figure that one out.
There you go.
You know exactly why.
Yeah.
His two sons-in-laws were evidently Sodomites.
Exactly.
Theirs was of appearance, and what I can get out of this relationship this way.
Yeah.
It wasn't out of something down in here, love and compassion.
You're right.
Lot was willing to sacrifice his two daughters. Thirdly, those that Lot warned scorned his witness. Didn't they? It says to his two sons-in-law, he was one that just mocked. Mocked. Who are you? Who are you? Let me tell you, they were right about Lot. But they were wrong about what was coming.
Right. Exactly
right.
I didn't know.
Oh, yes, they were right when they pointed the old finger at Lot. They were right about Lot. All Lot could say is, man, I've messed things up. Right? Man, I've messed things up. Man, I've made some bad choices. Man, I've made some poor decisions. But that doesn't excuse the ungodly and the unjust and the unrighteous. Mind in your failures. No man will ever be saved. But what about them? It ain't about me. To you. You is what matters before God to you.
Exactly.
And me is what matters before God to me.
Amen.
And I will never be able to excuse myself before God because of you.
That's right.
And the same goes likewise the other way.
Amen.
Well, not only that, Lot even dilly-dallied in the city.
Yeah.
Go back and read dilly-dally.
Oh, yeah.
He dilly-dallied. He lingered, he calls it.
Mm-hmm.
He lingered.
Yeah.
Oh, God, how often have I lingered when I should be packing up and ready to get out?
You're right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Ready to pack up house and leave this place because this ain't where I belong. But I dilly-dally.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's easier to dilly-dally. And then, this is where the account ends with Lot. Remember the cave?
Yeah.
And for right now, that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
You remember the cave?
Yes, sir.
And Lot's biography ends right there.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
You would expect a little more pleasant ending. If I'd have been writing this about a man I thought was just and righteous, had a righteous soul, Neil, I'd have found some way to put a good spin on that thing. But there ain't no good spin to put on it. God tells the truth even about His own people. Of what we are in and of ourselves. Always. Now think about this. Would you want God to equally expose your biography in the Scripture? Come on now.
You're right.
Aren't you? You read about Lot? Yeah. Boy, I'm glad I ain't Lot.
Yeah.
You ever done that? Come on now, be honest. Well, at least I ain't never been that bad.
Right.
But what if God really exposed? What if God had somebody inspired to write down our biography in His book for posterity for thousands of years, yea, eternity? Because I don't know that we'll be done with this book when we get to glory.
Yes,
I think God's Word still will be of great value. We'll sit back. Mason, we'll really understand it then.
Amen.
And we'll
say,
boy, boy, how great God's grace was, and I didn't know about that much of it.
Exactly.
Probably not, that's probably overestimated.
Exactly.
I don't want my biography written down in here. I don't even want it to be in the newspaper next week. Let alone wrote in God's holy Word. What about you? What about you? How then do we know Lot was righteous and godly? Isn't that the question? Huh? How then do we know Lot was righteous and godly? Two ways. I know this is so. One, by inspired declaration. Because the book says so. Compare what he did right with what he did wrong. What he did wrong outweighs everything I can find, Joe. I'll give you just a few. The list on the bad choice side outweighs the list on the good choice side.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me tell you, neither one of us. None of us. No, you really don't. Even if you think you do. Anybody hears me on TV. If you think, I hope when God puts my actions in the scales, my good outweighs my bad. It will not. Because even your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. How do we know Lot was righteous, Lot was godly? By inspired declaration. And that's the only way any of us are ever going to know anybody's ever righteous. Is by the testimony of this book right here.
Yes, sir.
That's all you got. That's all. That's all! I mean, A-L-L. No exceptions. That's all we got.
Amen.
Is it not? You want me to follow you around and watch you for a while? Huh? When you and your husband, or you and your wife, or you and your children, or you and a cousin, whatever, you and your co-workers get into it at work sometime, and then what you're saying in here that you refuse to say out here because you know you get in trouble if you said it out here, and that pie hole gets to flapping, huh? So you keep the pie hole quiet, but down in here you're raging with self-importance. And I've been wronged. I deserve hell from God.
Exactly.
Huh? Yeah. I deserve to be abandoned in the pit of darkness and blackness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth forever.
Amen.
And I sit around and bellyache about what some other fallen creature says about me. My life not too much different from Lot's. What about you? What about you? And I know it the one other way. And the only way I know this is still starts here by this book. By evident. I don't mean supposed. I mean evident deliverance. God delivered Lot. Matter of fact, while he was dilly-dallying, while he was lingering, you know what it says? Those two men, those two messengers laid hands on Lot. Laid hands. It was two men, four arms. Laid hands on Lot. Laid hands on his wife and laid hands on his two daughters.
Yes, sir.
And had mercy upon, now look at the way it says it, him.
There you go. That's right.
Him. Not them.
Yeah.
Him.
That's what it says.
Him.
Amen.
One righteous man. And God did everything he did to spare that one righteous man.
Amen.
His wife turned back, turned into a pillar of salt. You really believe that? I believe that. And eventually, Lot's left with his wife's gone.
Yeah.
I'm sure she wouldn't even have made good table salt, Joe. And he's up there in that cave with his two daughters. And they say, let's get him drunk.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
And they did. It said God, he said, it says, had mercy on him. Him. Let me tell you something. If you don't like election, you hate God. You hate God. You can be, you'll be religious, talk about Jesus, Jesus, all you want. If you hate the election of grace, you hate God.
Amen.
Was Lot better than his wife? No. Was Lot better than his daughters? No. But God chose to be merciful to Lot.
Amen.
Lot.
Amen.
Now, in spite of Lot, and in spite of me, and in spite of you, God decreed, God insists, yea, God demands that if we're one of his elect, he will deliver us.
Amen.
Do you hear what I said? I can show you that. I'm not going to go back and look at it. You go back and study it yourself. I said God decreed, God insists, yea, God demands our deliverance if we're one of the elect. I know he decreed it because he told Abraham, I won't destroy those cities at all. I'll let them alone
right.
If there's 10 righteous there. Well, God destroyed the city, so there was not 10 righteous there.
Amen.
And Peter never says Lot and his family were righteous. He says just, that is righteous Lot. That man,
amen.
Singular person, one individual, had a righteous soul, and he was delivered. Delivered like God delivers all the godly.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? God decreed it to Abraham. Now, do you think God didn't know what he's already going to do when he showed up with Abraham on the plains of Mamre? If you don't, you don't really know who God is.
That's right. Amen.
You don't really know who God is. Amen. And God insists, because what? God went down to Sodom.
Yes, sir.
You think God didn't already know what Sodom was like? And what God was going to do, but God was going down there.
Yes, sir.
Two visitors went down there. And then what did they do thoroughly? They demanded his deliverance. They laid hands on him and took him out of
Amen.
Those cities.
Amen.
That's the way God saved me.
That's exactly right.
And that's the way God saved you, if we're saved at all.
Amen.
He didn't do it because we were great. We were dilly-dallying and lingering.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Making up every excuse to hang around just a little bit longer.
Yeah. You're right.
Huh? And even when we believe God, our belief is shot full of a hail of unbelief.
Amen.
So that we're forced to cry, Lord, I believe. And we can't even help it ourselves. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Because I can't deal with it. I can't deal with it. It's so prevalent in me. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm talking about? If you don't, you ain't like Lot. You ain't like Lot. Because let me tell you, every one of us are lots.
That's exactly right.
We're a lot of lots.
Yeah.
That's what we are. Think of it. He works the work that it takes to infallibly cause it to happen.
Amen.
Lot couldn't look back at anything. Even after, I'm sure after the cave, Joe, when he finally come out of that drunken stupor after however many days it was, and he said, land sakes, especially after a few months and this starts to happen. And he's got $2 in his cave, but he knows, I don't think they've been to town. The towns are gone. There's one called Zoar. We left that one because we realized that I wanted that. Even then, he said, give me Zoar. Remember? So God let him go to Zoar. And then after a while, he realized, this ain't good either. I'll go to the mountains where God said to go. But what happened even there? This happened. And I'm sure that shame wrecked his very being, but he couldn't do a thing about it. Huh? We've laid our hands to things, and you can't ever take it back.
Exactly.
Our only hope is that God Almighty, every time we need it, Joe, lays hands on us and brings us out.
Amen.
Why did God do this for Lot? Because of righteousness and godliness.
Amen.
That's why. Right? Righteousness and godliness. But you don't see it in his works, his merit, his worth, or his will.
That's right.
Remember, it ends in the cave.
That's right. Exactly.
Right? Yes or no? Yes or no? How many folks you know preach on Lot other than to tell you, don't be like Lot was?
Yeah.
Right? Well, that's really actually a decent message, but let me tell you something. You better not forget what the Holy Spirit actually moved one writer to write about Lot. He was a righteous man with a righteous soul and counted among the godly.
Amen.
Now, God, give me at least some little inkling of what that means.
Exactly.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Godliness. What is that? Turn to Titus. Chapter 1. You will get just a little taste of what true. Now, you know, no need for me to waste time talking about what everybody talks about godliness is. You know? Here's what Paul, the inspired writer, calls godliness. Titus chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Now, notice this state right here. If you don't want election in the Bible, then you don't want God's word.
Yeah.
According to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness.
Amen.
That's where godliness begins.
Amen.
Acknowledging the truth of who God is.
Amen.
And what God does.
Amen.
In election.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Huh? I'm not making that, Mason. I didn't make that up. It's right there written down for me.
Exactly.
Acknowledging the truth of God in election. That's where it all began. God chose to redeem a people by His Son.
Yes, sir.
And He chose the individuals He would do it for.
Amen. There
and there's where true godliness is. It's not out here in what you see me doing or not doing. It's acknowledging the truth. The truth about myself, yeah. And the truth about God, too. So much so that Paul puts it this way, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Why? Because you're so blessed hard-headed.
There you go.
So I keep telling you over and over and over again, and finally God enables it to sink in.
There you go.
Notice I said God enables it. We've got to wait, Job. Be patient. Look, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
Amen.
You see, it's not just giving up things you do wrong.
Exactly.
It's about God changing you in here, about how you think about yourself and how you think about Him.
Amen.
That's where it begins. And I remember our Lord said, if the inside's cleaned first, then the outside will start to take care of itself. Right?
Yeah.
That's what he taught.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And who does that work? God's got to do that work.
Amen.
God's got to do that work. And this outside is always, because we live in this world, always going to be vexed with this or that.
Yes, sir.
Stained. Marred. But bless God, if God does something down inside, that's God's work. God's business. He does that and you don't even know it's happening.
Exactly.
Because he did it based upon what his son did 2,000 years ago. And that's based upon what he purposed in his son in eternity.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Godliness, that's what godliness is about right there. And what about righteousness? He delivered Lot because he was righteous.
Yes, sir.
Was Lot personally righteous?
No.
Am I personally righteous?
No.
No. Are you personally righteous? But consider this. Joe, you were right. You were just stomping all around in my field this morning. Isaiah chapter 54. Look at verse 17. You want to look at righteousness? This is even Old Testament. And it ain't changed.
That's right.
It ain't changed.
Right.
No. Isaiah 54 said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I don't understand that. He didn't ask you to understand it. God said this is the way it is.
Amen.
Whatever weapon, he didn't say a weapon ain't going to be formed against you.
Nope.
But that weapon, though in the hands of an enemy, if they're intended to do this with it, God's going to have them do what he wants done to you with that weapon, and it'll be for your good.
Amen.
I don't understand it. Forget trying to understand it. Believe it.
Amen.
Just believe it. Even when the tears roll down your eyes and your heart aches because you don't understand it.
Right.
Look, no weapon shall formed against thee. Formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. I'm sorry. You did this. Yeah, you're right, but you're wrong.
Exactly. There you go.
That don't make sense. It's because you ain't never experienced grace.
Exactly.
You ain't never stood on this side of it. You just ain't. And look, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me,
amen,
saith the Lord. That settles
amen.
It.
Amen.
That's where Lot's righteousness was.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's where Lot's righteousness was. Well, we're not done yet. Look at Isaiah 46. See, I told you, Joe, you was running into my field and trampling around. I thought he was going to get right on my message. And, all right, now look at what he says, verse 8, Isaiah 46. Remember this and show yourselves men. What's he saying? Stand up to the plate for once.
Yes, sir.
Stand up to the plate for once.
Yep.
But we can't do that without his grace.
Amen.
But yet we're called. Stand up to the plate. Mm-hmm. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind. O ye transgressors. He's
Amen.
Talking to me and you.
Yes, sir.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Don't try to compare God to anything, especially ourselves.
Exactly.
Especially ourselves.
Amen.
Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. I'll even call a ravenous bird from the east and that man will execute my counsel from a far country. Yea? I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted.
Yes, sir.
That are far from righteousness.
There you go.
Can you take your place there?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now look, I bring near my righteousness.
Amen.
You see it? Look, but it's not just that. That if you just stop there, look, Joe, with his ponder, well, maybe it gets close, then we got to reach it. Maybe I can just reach a little bit. No, look, I bring near to those that are far from it. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory.
Amen.
Oh, thank God.
Amen.
Thank God. But we're not done yet. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Listen to what old Jeremiah said. We're talking about righteousness now. Jeremiah chapter 23, look at verse 5. Behold, the days come, and I'm telling you, they're here.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they're here.
Yeah, sir.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise in the David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Somebody says, he ain't doing that now. He did that at Calvary. That's what he's talking about.
Yes,
justice and judgment in the earth. Judgment. Oh, wait a minute. Judgment first. Then justice. Because remember who he's talking to. You bunch of transgressors.
Exactly.
You remember who he's talking to. You stout-hearted. Remember who he's talking to. Those of us that are far from righteousness. Look at what he says. In his days, Judah shall be saved. And Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness.
Amen.
He is my righteousness. He delivers me for his own righteousness sake.
That's right.
And that's the same righteousness Lot had.
Amen.
Mason, if he had any at all.
Exactly.
And that's the same righteousness I'll have and you'll have. If you have any at all.
That's right.
Now go back and read Philippians 3 and those words of Paul, and you can see what it's not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law.
Yeah.
Paul said, I know how to do some of those things, but they're not sufficient. That's not the righteousness this book talks about that God receives and delivers men because of.
You're right.
Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness, which is by the faith of Christ.
Amen.
It's his obedience, not mine.
Exactly. That's it.
No sin, and no sins are ever excused. None.
That's right.
None.
Amen.
None. But it's also equally true, no sin. And no sins are ever forgiven apart from God dealing with them in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't repent enough to get God to forgive you.
Amen.
Yes, we ought to confess our sins.
Yes,
and if we do, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But that's based upon the advocate.
Yes, sir.
Read the whole passage.
Yeah.
And he's the advocate because he done dealt with them penally at Calvary. He's able to forgive us in our experience because he dealt with them back there at Calvary.
Right, sir.
Justice can only be satisfied after judgment comes to fruition.
Amen.
And God judged sins in his Son for those he delivers.
Yeah, that's right.
So I say this, no sin. And no sins can ever condemn where Christ has redeemed.
Amen.
Now turn to Revelation. I'll end with us reading this and make a couple statements. The book of the Revelation, chapter 5. The book of the Revelation, chapter 5. And verse 9. And they sung a new song. Why is it new? It's not new. God purposed this song. The tenor... Mason, the words and the notes of this song were purposed and declared by God before the foundation of the world.
Right, sir.
And God's people have been singing it down in here, in their heart.
Yes, sir.
Always, once God begins to deliver you.
There you go.
But now they're all gathered together.
Yes, sir.
And they sung a new song saying, who is worthy?
There you go.
Now here's the thing. Remember, Christ said, there'll be people come to me in that day, they'll expect to enter in. And what do they start to talk about? Themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now those that have received, are they really any better?
That's it.
No. No. They sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us. And you go on and read the rest of it. That's what matters. Christ, Matt Christ did all the work in my deliverance.
Amen.
He does it all! I've got no hope of deliverance unless He does it all. Start to finish. And Joe, you still getting over in my field again. I'm persuaded of this. That He which hath begun a good work in you, what's He going to do?
Yeah.
What's He going to do?
Amen.
Paul said, I'm persuaded of this. Why? Not because of you.
Yeah.
Because of Him. I'm persuaded of this. He's begun a good work in you. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
Hmm. Right. That's my only hope.
Amen.
My only hope. Father, oh God, help us. God, help us. And You have.
Amen.
In Your Son. And You are in Your Son. And You will, by Your own swearing word, You will continue to do so in Your Son.
Amen.
God, make us grateful. And God, help us to walk in the light of that. In the light of that. In Christ's name, amen. And to everybody, just in case something happens, I don't get to be here next Sunday. I love you, folks. God willing, take a jet ride, and I ain't never been on a jet. I'm excited, but I'm scared to death at the same time.